You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Lamed Vav. So, we were in the middle of discussing issues of Hechsher. How in the world did we get involved in issues of Hechsher in the middle of Masechet Chulin? Because, once again, the interwoven nature of Chulin with Kachin and how it is that the issues of Chulin, particularly Shechita, and anything that emanates from Shechita, including the Hechsher of the Basar and the Din of the Basar after it's been exposed to Shechita, has to do both with Chulin and with Kachin in very profound ways. But because of that, we were looking at our Mishnah that discussed what the din is of an animal that was shechted and did not bleed. Which, of course, leads us to wonder. something must have been wrong with that animal, but that we'll discuss tomorrow, because, of course, that's exactly the next issue that we're going to have to... I mean, does this mean if the animal is ill, you shechted, it doesn't bleed? It's certainly an indication that it died of heart failure before you did the shechita. You know, so how can you eat it? That's all a question that we're going to get into. But the first question that we have is that the Mishnah, this is a very cryptic comment, you can eat that meat with hands that didn't have netilat yadayim, which, why in the world wouldn't you? Okay, so that we explain well. It's talking about chulin, that was al tairas hakodesh. Because of that, it would be mekabel tuma from a sheni, which is abnormal for chulin, but that must be the case, which, of course, is the central piece that involves chulin and kachim together. Chulin shenas al tairas hakodesh. Which is exactly what you would have suspected right as you begin the Masechta, that is all involved in, is this Chulin or is it Kachin? Now you really don't know who Shnas Rav Tarsa Kedesh. Zavdinim of Chulin, Zavdinim of Kachin. So there's a very powerful theme here. So in any event, we were getting into the question of what is Machshir. Yesterday we had the fascinating Kiddush that when Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah that the Shechita is Machshir, Rav Asi said that meant only Shechita is Machshir. And that actually Dam isn't even Machshir, amazingly. Why would that be? Because only Dam Chalalim, he holds his Machshir, which means only if you actually kill the animal, if you shechted the animal, it's not included. What about the famous Alor Tishbachanukha Mayim, which, I mean, that's the Makor that Dam is Mayim? No, he says. That's coming to tell me something else entirely. That's just coming to tell me that Shulei HaMukdashim are not Usr Bahana Agudam, even though you might think it's like Yizab Avada, it's not. But today we're up to the second line, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. That gets a little bit more into some of these issues. Tell me the very Bishmo. Vedam Chalalim Yishte. The simple meaning of that is that it has to be Chalalim, not in a sense, as we said, Rabbi Shimon holds, that it means literally you have to chop off its head in order for it to be considered the Dam to be Mashke. And anything else, if it's a Meshchita, that's the kinder, gentler way, which is not Dam Chalalim. That's not what it means. Dam Chalalim Yishte is Prata Dam Kiluach, Sheino Makshir Tazraim. So basically, when you do Kiluach Adam, and by the way, the Kiluach Adam is part of Hakosa. Hakosa was bloodletting. Bloodletting was extremely common both for humans and for animals until very recently. And actually, turns out, medically, it did have some good impact. Of course, you could also kill people like George Washington with it and so on, but you know. You just keep bloodletting until they finally die. But that's an unfortunate thing. But in any event, what you do is you basically open up a blood vessel, blood starts to dribble out, and then turns dark, and then you get a flow. That dark part, which is called the Meshacheret, so it's dark, black. That part is considered to be Dam HaNefesh. Before the actual Dam HaNefesh, you have a flow that's more than just a dribble, but it's still not dark. That's how considered Dam HaNefesh. That's considered to be Kiluach. It's flowing. And the finish over here is that's not Machshir. Why? It's not Machshir because it isn't Dam Chalalim. And Chalalim implies the loss of Nefesh. Chalal is something that has no life in it. Hollow, hollowed out. Tan Rabban, Hashochet v'itiz dam al hadlat. So suppose you have a pumpkin that is sitting there that you're about to use for your Halloween costume, and as part of the barbecue, you shack that animal. Some of this blood sprinkles on that pumpkin. The pumpkin, of course, is not connected to the ground at the time, because if the pumpkin is connected to the ground, it's certainly not considered to be foodstuff. It's not going to be moshe lekabaltuma. So the question is, does sprinkled blood on a pumpkin make that pumpkin roy lekabaltuma? And of course, Halloween is all about ghosts and evil things and so on, and it would make a big difference whether it's tummy or not. So Rebbe Omer Hukshar, and Rebbe Chiya Omer Tolin. Rebbe says, absolutely, why wouldn't it be Hukshar lekabaltuma? It has blood on it. But Rebbe Chiya says Tolin. Now Tolin, every place that we know the word Tolin, it's always used in the sense of safek. When you're dealing with either truma of kachim, you cannot allow yourself to be machmir and say, well, let's be machmir in its tummy. Because if you're machmir in its tummy and you really treat it as tummy, you would burn it, because that's a din of kachim tebeim, truma tameya. You can't burn it, though. Maybe it's not tummy. So therefore, we say, because you're not allowed to be mashkis truma and kachim, only if it's definitely tummy. So tolin, usually in reference to kachim and truma, is that, since we don't know, leave it there, lo ochlin velo surfin. That's what it usually means. So, Omer of Oshaya, what are we supposed to do? We have this major machloket. So what do we do? Mi'achash Rebbe Omer Huksha, Rebbe Chiya Omer Tolin. Do we have any additional data that would enable us to determine what to do? Anu al minismoch. We do indeed. Bov in Ismoch al Divrei Rabbi Shimon, what we can do is, if we add one more piece into the pot, and that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, we add up the evidence to teach us what to do. Because since Rabbi Shimon says, only Shkita is Makshir, and not Dan, that already is Machriya. Now, the Gemara is going to explain this in a moment. So Rav Papa says, let me explain to you what I think is going on over here. I think that in a case that the blood would have been on that pumpkin for 5 minutes while you finished the shechita, the blood fell on it right away at the beginning of your shechita, I think that the issue over here of tolin is not the normal tolin. It's not that it's a suffix. The question is, we need to discover whether the shechita was completed or not. That's the point. Wait, exactly. It doesn't mean you're in doubt. It means wait until you find out, which is just a matter of a minute. So I would say, if the blood was there from the beginning of the Shechita until the end of the Shechita, the din would be, it would vadai be machshir. Remember that this whole sugya really began with issues of what happens bein siman l'siman. In a sense, this is a continuation of that whole point. So now, the blood was wiped off of the pumpkin. It's not there at the end of the Shechita. Now the question is, is Shechita an act that goes from start to finish? Which we said, Yeshel Shechita B'tchila V'atzov. If it is, then this is the Dam of Shechita. But if Einel Shechita L'Lebesov, then this would not be considered to be Dam Shechita until the Shechita is completed. Because I can't say, what makes this Dam Shechita? All I see is it's Dam that's coming from a cut that somebody made in the neck of an animal. But a cut that's made in the neck of an animal is not Dam Shechita. So therefore, if it was there at the end, and therefore, in this is dam makaru. It would be just blood that came from makat. So when we say tolin, tolin means tolina davar, wait until the shechita is completed. Ad gemar shechita. If the dam is there besof shechita, so then it's machshir. If it's not there at the end of the shechita, it bears no relationship to the act of the shechita at all. You understand that this is a massive chiddush in the nature of yeshel shechita b'tchila v'atzof. Now, up until now, we thought that einel shechita ela besof simply means that anything that happened during the period of prior to cutting the rove of the simanim, from the beginning that I move my knife, is not really part of the act of shechita. It's only called an act of shechita at the time that it actually achieves. Now we're saying everybody agrees.
It's a retroactive.
That's what it's saying. If the blood is still there, then I look at a holistic act. All that we're saying is that the process is not part of the act. So the fact that you are involved in doing your shechita doesn't make it shechita. You know that you're involved in doing your shechita, but it doesn't stand as an act of shechita until the act is completed. That's the point. But once the act is completed, then there's no question that the reality is that there was a shechita here. And that's what he's saying. He's saying if it was there afterwards, that we now view the entire act as an act of shechita, which is a remarkable, different way of looking at the entire idea. In other words, all that it meant, English shechita al-basof, meant that until such time as we see the achievement of the act of shechita, what makes you say it's an act of shechita? Okay, if that's the case, then we're going to have some problems with the sugyas that we had earlier about English shechita al-basof when it comes to issues of tuma, papara, and so on. Remember, we dealt with all these questions before. We're going to have to, one of these years, do this right and spend a year on this question. But of course, that will have to wait until we become immortal. Well, which in terms of immortality is not very far away, so it's not a problem, but just hold on. Okay.
Tolling.
Exactly. So now, assuming that this is the case, says Rav Papa, so then what do I mean? How do I understand when they said, Bov in his smoke al divrei Rabbi Shimon? Now, obviously, that's crazy. You can't, throw Rabbi Shimon into it. Rabbi Shimon has nothing to do with it. Rabbi Shimon says, Bichlal, the Dam is in Machshir, okay? Rabbi Chia is saying that the Dam is Machshir. How do you put together a Shita that says the Dam is in Machshir, the Shita says the Dam is Machshir, and then say, and therefore, the bottom line is that we're going to paskin against Rabbi? No, but you see, you have to look at the bottom line. You don't look at the Sephora. The question is, suppose the Dam was wiped off, okay? It was Nitkaneah. Now, what does Rabbi Shimon hold? Rabbi Shimon says, I don't give a hang if it's in Kareh or not in Kareh. It's never Machshir. Fine. Thank you. Just tell me. Bottom line is, it's not Machshir. Thank you. And according to Rabbi Chia, it's not Machshir because at the time that it was on there, I saw no relationship between it and an act of Shechita. Okay? So then if that's the case, the bottom line is it's two against one. Marlo Machshir, Marlo Machshir. Rebbe is Chad, and these are two. Vein dvarav shel Chad, b'makom shnayim. Simple as that. So basically, what we have over here now, according to Rav Papa, is a new way of looking, yesh shechita b'tchila b'atzof, that we didn't think of before. Because remember, before we were talking about events. Events, an event doesn't have any extension in time. I did something. I did something to the parah. Was I mekabel tuma? No. Well, why not? Isn't it retroactive? No, it's not that it's retroactive. It's that the act has to stand as a completed act. That's all. The act didn't stand at that point. If the blood is there the whole time for the entire course of the act, what's the difference when it fell? This is the blood of that act. It's just a question of how you define the extension of that. You always have to define an extension anyway. So the question is, what's the extended presence? In terms of this act, the act defines that extension. Okay, so at that point, I decide. But it's not a question of retroactive. It's just that this is what it is. Yeah, this is just true in physics as well. You set up an experiment. The experiment is not that people think it means retroactively determine what the light is. That's not the point. You've established this is now the extension that I'm talking about. If that's the case, within that extension, this is the reality. You may not find out until afterwards, but it's not like we have to make up our mind at the instant that we pass through a double slit whether we're this or we're that. So it's the way that I define the act. That's what he's saying. It's a description of the experiment. The experiment is this act of bringing the knife across the act of the vein. Okay, this is the first time we've been able to identify it in terms of an extension, because up until now, all the cases that we had were cases that were instantaneous at one particular point or another. Okay, this is a very remarkable way of explaining it. Lovely. The only one problem, Ravashi says, I never heard the word tolin used in that way. Wait. Tolin doesn't mean wait. For heaven's sakes, tolin always means we don't know. Tolin, the word tolin la'olam mashma, it always implies you're going to have to not know. I mean, sure, Elyon never shows up, that would be great, but you know, until then, you don't know what to do. Therefore, I say, it means exactly what it sounds like. Rabbi Chia is saying, I don't know. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you could find out. He's saying, I don't know. There's no way to know. I don't know what the halacha is about the question of yeshu shechita b'tchila b'atzof, ein lo shechita b'atzof. I agree with you that the question definitely is revolving around that point, so that it fell at the beginning of the shechita. When he says tolin, he means, look, You're not allowed to eat this if it's truma, because maybe it's tame. On the other hand, you can't just go burn it, because maybe it's tar. Therefore, when we say, so what shall we do? Oh, my bov in ismoch al divrei Rabbi Shimon. Isn't that silly? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not makshar at all. According to Rabbi Chiya, it's a safek. All that it meant was, there is a commonality on one issue in the bottom line, which is, do I burn it or don't I burn it? That everybody's agreed on. Rebbe said I definitely burn it. Zok shel kabel tuma. But since I throw Rebbe Shimon in, so now inin sreifa mia, I have two opinions that say the same thing, albeit for totally different reasons. So there's shavul adane. Rebbe Shimon says, is this ukshur? Absolutely not. It's not ukshur because that, I don't care why it's not ukshur. Just tell me, is it ukshur? No, not ukshur. Okay, so we're not going to burn it. And according to, but you can eat it. I'm not interested in your opinion about whether you can eat it, but you can't burn it. Okay, that's the bottom line. So Rebbe Chiya also says you can't burn it. So now we have two against one. Rebbe is chad, ein dvar v'shalach v'makam shnayim. And all that we were saying when we said the word tolin wasn't what you said. We said kegon zot tolin. Lo clean velo surfing, which is Rashi says this whole piece here is like just sort of completely extra. I mean, that, obviously that's what he's saying. Why Rabbi Shimon Malak? Now that we've discussed these situations that you mentioned before about types of heksher that are a heksher that do not come from heksher mashke, such as Rabbi Shimon saying, dam is not makshe, shchita is makshe. How is shchita makshe? It turns it into an ochlin, which is the equivalent of washing it off as the final step of preparation, right? It's the same idea. Well, remember that we had another very important idea like that. All through these vochlim and ochlis, yes, we were talking about chibat HaKodesh. Chibat HaKodesh, in the end, you'll recall that we learned it out of the extra pasuk, v'habasar l'rabot etzim ulevona. So that if even wood is mekabel tumah, obviously, wood is not foodstuff. I mean, how's a piece of wood that you're burning on the mizbeach with kabel tuma? And levona is not edible. Nonetheless, mekabel tuma. Why is it mekabel tuma? Because it's kodesh. Kodesh gives it such a high level of importance. And that's really what tuma is about, if you'll notice. The more sensitive something is in its status, the more likely it is to be mekabel tuma. So the closer it gets to the essence of things, a human being, an animal can't become tame. There's no way an animal can be tame. Only a human being can be tame. When it comes to kelim, the kli has to be fashioned, has to be something that is usable, that is sensitive, and at that point it becomes an extension of humanity. It becomes tame. Something which has in it the potential of life. That kind of thing, when it isn't used for life, such as life itself, in terms of a dead body, or sperm, or nidais, whatever it is that could be alive and isn't, ends up being exquisitely sensitive to tuma. It's unused, it's metame. So the same thing is true. We have chibat HaKodesh, it's metame. Now, the very fact that it's so holy, it's roy lekabel tuma. I was at the same idea of, actually, there are cases where you don't even need tuma. Fine. But here we're talking about heksher alone. Reish Lakish wanted to know if you had a tsri chel minachot. This was something we spoke about also back in our pure kachim learning. So you have a carbon mincha, and there was a hard piece that hadn't gotten mixed well with the liquid in the mincha. What is the din of that hard piece? Monimbo rishon v'sheni, o ein monimbo rishon v'sheni. My question is, kimanya chibat HaKodesh. We know, I understand this concept called chibat HaKodesh, but chibat HaKodesh could be that something that is sensitive can become pasul through tuma. It doesn't necessarily mean something that is sensitive becomes tame to exude tuma. Maybe it's purely a description of its own possibilities for use. They were saying, if it touched tuma, it's not going to become tame, but it'll become pasul. Or is it literally tame, and it will make something that touches it tame? That's my question. So do we say that it means literally it's tame, lemimne beirisha mesheni, will start counting from it, attenuated tuma from each step, as if it were real tuma? Odima. Or perhaps, maybe kima hanya bechibas hakadosh is only psuli gufa, but not to actually count rishon v'sheni. Or perhaps loshna, you could literally count the rishon v'sheni from. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Oh, I don't understand the question. It's a beferish pasuk, says Rabbi Elazar. What's the beferish pasuk? Well, doesn't the Torah say Mikola Ochel Asher Yechel Asher Yavo Alav Mayim Yitma? And only Ochel that was Baba Mayim is Ochel. But Ochel She'eno Baba Mayim is not Ochel. He's going, what in the world are you talking about? What do you think, Rabbi Shimon is Ben Lakish is an idiot? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of the pasuk that Ochel Baba Mayim. He told you what his problem is. We're talking about a case of Chibat HaKodesh. Chibat HaKodesh, we know, is a violation of the rule of Mayim. It's a whole new idea. So he's asking you whether Chibat HaKodesh is the equivalent of Biat Mayim, and therefore it's true Heksher, or it's only a din in the violation of its goof. You can't use this because of Touch Truma. What are you bringing him from the pasuk that any two-year-old knows, and then obviously he was basing his question on? Okay, coming by and lay. All he was saying is, Chibat HaKodesh, is it the full equivalent of Ochel HaBaba Mayim? Or is it not a full equivalent? It's just opening up the potential for psul. Oh, lo. Yeah, what do you think? Rebbe Lazar is an idiot. He didn't understand what he was saying. He was bringing not the pasuk that you're reading it on the simple level. You're right, a two-year-old knows that din. Rebbe Elazar is pointing out that there's an extra pasuk here. And that extra pasuk is coming to address this. Miture kroikama. Look, it says in the pasuk, Yutan mayim al zera, v'nafal minivlatam alav, and everything would be fine. What is this additional pasuk? Mikol ha'ochel asher yachel, asher yavo alav mayim. I mean, that's completely unnecessary. Isn't that true? It's the same thing. You said, v'chiyutan mayim al zera, water falls on something that is meant to be eaten. Then, if one of the shratzim, the above-mentioned shmona shratzim, fall on it, tameihu lachem. Why do you have to say mikol ha'ochel asher yachel asher yavo alav mayim itma? It's exactly the same thing, word for word almost. That's what he's pointing out to you. Why do I need that? Lomali, it's an extra pasuk. Therefore, what he's pointing out to you is that the reason that the pasuk reiterated the bia b'mayim is to tell you, listen here, there may be other things that you'd want to be makshir l'kabotumah, but it won't be like this. It has to be literally baba mayim in order for it to be matame, risha, vishini, and so on. It'll just become pasuk. That's what he was saying. Oh, no, that's what he was saying. No, that isn't the meaning of that extra pasuk. No. It's not coming to stress that it has to be dafka baba mayim. That is an extra pasuk in the middle of the parsha of Shratzim to tell me that the same idea would apply to Tumas Meis. Like this, I would have said that maybe it's a special din in Tumat Sheretz. Why? Chad b'tumat meit v'chad b'tumat sheretz. Why do I need an extra pasuk? Isn't it obvious it's kav v'chomer? I mean, a meis is more chomer. No. You know why? Because yash minu tumat meit. Let's say, now, of course, the truth is that, as Tosis points out, the Gemara often does this, even though, practically speaking, it doesn't really make sense, in the sense that it's totally abstracted. The pasuk is a pasuk that's said in tumat sheretz. So what are you going to say? If it only said Tumas Meis, it didn't say Tumas Meis. I mean, Tumas Meis is only the implications of the reiterated pasuk of Tumat Sheretz. So how can you say, well, if it would have reiterated without reiterating, what is that supposed to mean? It doesn't even make any sense. Right? You say, oh, you understand, we have a two psukim, but both of them occur in Tumas Sheretz. They extend the din of Tumas Sheretz to Tumas Meis. So you can't say, if it had only said the one of Tumas Meis, there is no one of Tumas Meis. If it said only one, it would have been Tumas Sheretz. Right? It's just pointing out the abstraction. Let's start from the beginning. Suppose you're rewriting the Torah. So now, you have an opportunity to say where the halacha is. Would you say the halacha of Tumas Meis and then apply it automatically? Because obviously it would be true of Tumas Sheretz. No. Would you apply it to Tumas Sheretz and obviously be true? No. As to where, how does he say it? That's, I don't care how does he say it. That's the point. Okay, so now we're saying Shrika. Yesh min Tumas Meis. Let's say I would have known somehow, some other way. Tumas Meis. So I would have said, okay, Tumas Meis. You know why Tumas Meis requires Heksher? I'll tell you. Because Tumas Meis does not give over its Tumah very easily. In order for it to give over its Tumah, you need to have a shear of Tumah. And if you don't have that shear, it's not going to be able to transfer Tumah. A Sheretz is very easy to give over Tumah. Why? Because we learn out from the fact that the smallest sheretz begins at the size of a kadasha. It's absolutely tiny. And there's no shear like that anywhere. So that means the Torah has made it very easy for tuma to be conveyed through shratzim. No. So maybe it doesn't require hechsher either. If it's that easy to be metame something, maybe the object of the tuma won't require hechsher to be makabel tuma. On the other hand, the Ashman and Sheretz, I would say, Sheretz needs extra tuma because it's sort of a weak tuma. It's only metame for the day. Go to the mikveh, your tar. So it's not metame tuma shiva. But a mate, which is metame tuma shiva, ema loli boy hechsher, maybe it doesn't require hechsher. Therefore, tzricha. What if Rav Yosef? So Rav Yosef said, okay, I got a problem with this. If Rabbi Shimon says it's hukshu b'shchita, okay? So the word hukshu, doesn't hukshu mean afilu mimne bu rishit v'sheni? Now, of course, we understand why we brought this sugya here. We brought the sugya here as an extension of exactly that issue. We figured that out ourselves, but I mean, here the Gemara is going through now the steps. So, the fact is that there is a sense of hechsher, and he didn't say nifsal b'shchita, obviously, because it would be a silly statement. Remember, we proved that the Mishnah is talking about chulin, not kachin. Chulin can't be nifsal. What do you mean nifsal? Nifsal for what? You want to eat it betumah? Go right ahead. There's no iser in eating it betumah. Even if you're eating your chulin b'taira, it doesn't make it usher to eat. It's just a question of what whether it is tameh or it's not tameh. So to say it's nifsal gufa would be absurd. What you could say is that it became hukshel kabotuma to be metame something else if you eat it. Oh, okay. So then by definition, you see that even though something was not baba mayim and it has an alternative modality of being hukshel kabotuma, such as shchita or chibat hakodesh, as far as I'm concerned, you see that the din is that it's mimne berishon v'sheni. V'aray, if you eat it, you become possible to eat kachur metruma. That's what we said. That's tuma emanating from it. Otherwise, how would it make you tummy, Yelly? How would it make you tummy? Okay. Mamai. I mean, according to your standards, you were trying to bring a raya. Oh, it's got to be ochel ababa mayim, Rabbi Lozer. Nah, this is not ochel ababa mayim, and it's still mokshel kabel tuma. Omalei Abaya says, oh, that's only mitarabonin, you know? They gave it the same din as Heksher Mayim in order to avoid people getting confused of what's considered to be Bokshir or not. But really, Mikar Adin Midiraita wouldn't be. Rabbi Zera came along and said, I also have a Raya. Look, the din is, famous case, Habotzer Lagat, somebody is picking his grapes and he's going to be squeezing his grapes. Now, Shammai says, since when you pick the grapes, you squeeze them by pulling them off of the stem. And since that causes a leakage of grape content, and since grape content is bachelor kabotuma, because that's known as wine, therefore, you got a problem and it's hoksha, by definition. Hillel says, no, it's not hoksha. And in the end, Hillel had to accept that Shammai was right. V'shotikla Hillel l'Shammai. Now, why in the world would it be mokshel kabotuma? Because as we saw over there in Shabbat, it becomes clear in the Gemara that it's all a gezera. Why? Because the mashke that drips out of the grape is not going to be mashke. Why not? Because if you want to make wine, you don't want that mashke. And the whole din of mashke ben amakshirin, as we saw earlier, is kiyutan mayim azera, similar to kiyitain. It has to be something that you want. And over here, it's dripping out. Why in the world would you want less liquid? Why would you want to drip? So over there we said, Shammai said, that we need to make a gezer, which Hillel was agreeing to, that Shema Yifsar Salim Mizufafim. What if you use plastic containers that are waterproof? So over there, you're perfectly happy. Okay, you intend anyway to get the liquid out of the grape. You don't mind if it fills up with grape liquid in a plastic container. So even though you're not using a plastic container, you're using a sal, a basket, we make a gzera. Okay, but I mean, lamaisa, it's not baba mai. It's a gzera. It's like shchita, let's say. Some other purpose, some other reason is being makshir, not the actual liquid. So it's not baba mai. So why is it hukshir in the sense of rishon v'sheni? Well, it doesn't really mean it's hukshir. It means min rabbanan it's hukshir. Omele Rav Yosef, I mean, this is ridiculous. So you made everybody who says something, you have a stock answer. You know, I tell you, Amin al-Kha'ana, I bring you a beautiful raya, from Hukshra B'Shchita. So you got your answer. Asur Kech Shemayim. Rabbi Zera comes along, brings you this brilliant question. Very abstract, lovely thinking. You tell him, Asur Kech Shemayim. I understand. So then you should have told Reish Lakish the same thing. I mean, if this is the stock answer, so you know? Fine. So if you know, just say that to Reish Lakish. You're ready to agree that the din is that where we have an alternative mode of Hechsher, Asu'u Kechshamayim, thank you. So Chibat HaKodesh is an alternative mode of Hechsher, fine, thank you. Basically, you've accepted my argument, you've accepted Rabbi Zera's argument. What do you think you're doing? So the Rabbi Shimon Bar Kishnami Asu'u Kechshamayim. Says Abaya, uh-oh, wait a minute, we have a completely different way of understanding the question. I understood that Rabbi Shimon Bar Lakish was serious over here. But the Rabbi Shimon Bar Lakish leaked load coming by. What do you think? Rabbi Shimon Bar Lakish was saying, Asa'uhu. I mean, obviously, if Asa'uhu, you can't burn Kachin, then it's just the Gzeira. So he would say, Toli, Lochli. That was his question. He was questioning whether, in reality, if it touched something, it'll be possible. He could possible something else. Lisrof. He wanted to know Bimni Risham Hashani seriously, not whether it's a Gzeira drop on him. Hold on, said Rabbi Yosef. Whoa. Wait, you're telling me that you understand that Reish Lakish was taking Chibat HaKodesh to be a Dioraita? And the question was whether the Dioraita... Now I understand why we're talking past each other here. I mean, I thought that there was no such thing as Chibat HaKodesh Dioraita. The whole thing was a Gzeira, which, therefore, I was shocked. Every time somebody brings you another Gzeira, you said, well, when you make a Gzeira, you make it Kach Shemayim. So then, basically, you're saying, okay, the same thing is true about the din of Chibat HaKodesh. Now I understand. You're taking Chibat HaKodesh as a real halach, a Dioraita alternative to Kach Shemayim. And Reish Lakish wanted to know the Dioraita, is it Lamim Neba Risha Mashani? And I and Rabbi Zer were bringing you rise about Takanas Rabbanan. So you were saying, when we make a Takanas Rabbanan, we made it the same as Kach Shemayim. And of course, the Rabbanan Chibat HaKodesh would be also, but that wasn't the issue. Reish Lakish understood that. That's how you understood it. And Reish Lakish just wanted to know if he could literally burn things based on the action of Chibat HaKodesh. But where in the world would that halakha come from? Bechlal de Chibat HaKodesh, do you write this? And Rabbi Yosef, I mean, Nolan, what's the basis? I mean, I can see some mistaken thoughts you might have on the matter. I mean, perhaps it's from the fact that the Torah says, V'habasara sheyigal b'chol tamei ba'esh yisareif. And you thought to yourself, and that of course is referring to Shlomi, you thought to yourself, how could Basar that touches Tamei be Tamei if it's Kodesh? That's what you thought to yourself. Because, I mean, was it Niskash? I Basar Niskash Shubima. What made it Mokshe L'Kabel Tumah? Was it the Dam? No, wasn't the Dam. Because everybody agrees, Amr Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amr Rav Yochanan, forget about Dam Shchita. I mean, even if you hold Dam Shchita, of Chulin is Makshir. But certainly Dam Kachim is not Makshir, because the Makar is Lotoch Leno Al Arat Nishpachenu Kamayim. But that means only Dam that's Nishpach Kamayim is Makshir. If it's Eno Nishpach Kamayim, Eno Makshir. So forget about that. Okay, so you think to yourself, well, how did this meat become Mokshe L'Kabel Tumah, unless it's innately Mokshe L'Kabel Tumah? Did it get wet from the butchering center in the Beit HaMikdash, which is called the Beit Matpachai, whether it's, they would hose down the meat and clean it and so on? No, you said to yourself, no, because that's not Mokshe L'Kabel Tumah. Because Amar Rav Yosi Rabbi Chanina, when we say that Heid Yosi Ben Yoezra Mashke Beit Matpachaya, that they are dechan, they are tohar. We mean lo dayan, that they're tohar shein dechan, in the sense that they're tohar. No, it's more than that. They are tohar, meaning they're not part of the concept of mashkin at all. They're not even mashkin l'kabel tumah. Halakha l'mashkin misinai, it's not going to be, okay, that's all sugya where it comes to halakha l'mashkin misinai. Let's assume it's because of that approach. Halakha l'mashkin misinai, it's not going to be mashkin. How in the world did this blood, or did this water that we hose down with, make it Mokshe L'Kabel Tumah? It didn't. Now, maybe you will say that, well, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina wasn't referring to the water that you hose it down with. He was referring to the blood of the Shechita, is not Makshel Kabel Tumah. But water that you hose the meat down with, that he wasn't referring to. He was only talking about blood. No. Read what he says. Mashkin. Mashkin means liquid. Liquid means hose down water, not blood. Okay. And you think to yourself, aha, so now I've proved it. Must be that it was mitkasher b'shibat ha-kodesh, and the meat is innately mokshar l'kabel tumah, without even being exposed to water. That's what you're thinking. Well, I have a simpler explanation. Here's my simple explanation. Guy is on the way to the Beit HaMikdash, bringing his shlamim for a carbon, thinking to himself, ah, my beautiful animal, which, of course, the skin will belong to me, and the meat will belong to me, and, yeah, I don't mind giving a little bit away. And here he comes, he's about to cross over the Gihon. So he says to himself, you know what, let's take the animal through the stream, and it'll be nice, cool, clean, which of course will make it easier to skin, because the water now pulls the skin away from the flesh, and it's still dripping water. Walks into the Beis HaMikdash with his nice showered, freshly showered animal. They shech the animal, water drips from its skin onto the basar. How about that nice, simple explanation, instead of this massive metaphysical new discovery that animals of Hegdesh are innately vested with Hekshel HaKabel Tumah? Maybe that's the case. What you think? So maybe the case is, I would say, that Dilma Gravina Mishmol, Dilma Gravina Mishmol, Kegon Shaitalo Parash Azif Cheshlamim, Vehevi Rab Nachal. Then he goes out and he shechs it, and Adain Mashke Tofeachal, and there's still water on it. So don't try to tell me now this big discovery when you haven't accounted for the simplest of possibilities. Ella, the real source, is from the end of the pasuk, because the extra word vehabasar. Look at how the pasuk. I mean, the pasuk is so strange. Vehabasar sheyigavachol tamei lo yachel ba'ish yisarev. Vehabasar. Oh, kol tor yochal basar. What is that? Vehabasar. So that vihabasar is an entirely extra thing, which is coming to extend the definition of to basar to consumables. Any consumables. Even the things that you're going to burn. L'rabot etzim, ulevona. Now, I ask you, how in the world could etzim ulevona be makabaltum? They're not foodstuffs. Etzim ulevona b'nei achila ninu. Clearly, chibat ha-kodesh takes away the entire requirements that are given to things that otherwise are not considered to be choshev enough to eat. Well, sir, that's called chibat hakodesh, okay? So if that's the case, back to the question of the Reish Lakish's gates, the case of tzarit shel menachot, or kachim in general, chibat hakodesh maksharet lo umishav lo ochel, that's what you're saying. So achanami, that's the case here too. Chibat hakodesh on the tzarit shel menachot makshata. Now, I continue my question, says Reish Lakish, the way Abai understands. My, this new Dioraita, yes, indeed, major new metaphysical discovery of absolutely major import. My question is, what does it mean? Kibahanya kibata kodesh, lipsula de gufe, is all it's saying is that the Torah is marba psul of kachim that came in touch with tuma. That's all. It's nothing to do with the normal dinim of tuma, which requires the abamayim, and then it can exude tuma. It's a chiddush about the chumra of psulei kodesh. Or maybe it's even more than that. So kibahanya kibat hakodesh psula de gufe, but certainly not laminde berisha v'sheni, which over there lo, that requires ababamayim, no babamayim, no risha v'sheni. Or maybe the point is that this is the full equivalent of an alternative mode of action, which can be exactly the same, and we may never reach Rabbi Shani. Now, is that a good question? Thank you. It's a lovely question. Go bring me Raya's for Rabbi Shimon about Shkita. I'll tell you that's like the Chomer Derabbanan, which is not what I'm interested in. You want to go bring me another Raya about the Gzeir of Shammai Ve'ilo on maybe you'll use Salim Mizufafot. Thank you very much. That's Gzeir Derabbanan. Now, I'm asking you, what's the din d'oraita? Teku. Let that stand. And immortality beckons. Tanu devei Rabbi Yishuv. V'dam chalalim yishteh Prat adam ki luach she'eno makshir tazraim. Tanu rabbanan. Hashochet v'kis dam al adlat. It's amazing how we always get pumpkins involved. So Rebbe Omer Hushar, Rebbe Chia Omer Tolim. Om Rebbe Yoshaya, mi'acher sh'Rebbe Omer Hushar, Rebbe Chia Omer Tolim. Ono amin nismoch, great, I got a brilliant idea. Bovin nismoch, ativ Rebbe Shimon. So Rebbe Shimon Omer Shchita Makshar V'lo Dam, which on the surface sounds absolutely crazy because Rebbe Shimon ought to be out of this whole conversation. Omer of Papa, well, actually, Akol Modim Echadita Adam Yitril Vatsov, Kuli Amalo Pligi Da Makshar, Ki Pligi Benit Kaneach Adam Mitzim and Lesimen. Rebbe Savar Yeshel Shchita Yitril Vatsov, Vaidam Shchitahu, Rebbe Chia Savar Enel Shchita, Elel Abesov, Vaidam Makahu, Umay Tolin, it just means wait until the Gemar Shchita. It doesn't mean I have any doubts. Ii til adam besov shchita, so then it's the dam of shchita, and it's machshir v'ilo lo machshir. Umay bo v'nismocha divrei Rebbe Shimon. I mean, isn't that silly? Rebbe Shimon lo machshir at all. Rebbe Chia is machshir. Yes, but benit kaneach mi yoshav aladadi, right? Mar lo machshir for one reason, umar lo machshir for a completely different reason. Havilei Rebbe Chad ein dvarav shelachad b'makom shnayim. Rav Ashi Omar, that doesn't mean what Tolin never means that. Tolin always means the Olam Mashma. Therefore, we are forced to say that Kaneach Rabbi Chia is a suffix. Yeshar Shchita B'Tchil Vatsof, Einar Shchita Lo B'Sof. When he says Tolin, he means what it always means. Lo Ochlin, but on the other hand, Lo Sarfim. And then when we say, Bov and Yismocha Divir Rabbi Shimon, you'll ask someone, what is that supposed to mean? According to Rabbi Shimon, Lama Akshar at all. According to Rabbi Chia, it's a suffix. True. But Lin Yisreifa, it turns out that they're Shovel Adade, right? Marlo Sarfe, because Dom isn't mine. Umarlo Sarfe, because I'm not sure if it's Shchita. Fine. So, Havilei Rebbe Chad, Ein Dvarav Shelach B'Makom Shnayim. Volchikomer. Kegon Zot, Tolin, Lo Ochlin, Velo Sarfim. Why Reb Shimon Ben Lakish? Tzirit Shel Menachot, which is now not exposed to liquid. Moni bo risha v'sheni wa in moni bo risha v'sheni. My question is, kimani chibata kodesh of sula legufe, but not lamin bo risha v'sheni, lo. O dilma, even for that, loshna. Omer Rabbi Elazar, well, tashma, it's a pasik. Mikola ochel ashe yachel, ochel haba b'mayim uchshar, ochel sheinu baba mayim lo uchshar. What in the world, Otto Rabbi Shimon Lakish, letle ochel haba b'mayim, that's a kindergarten pasik. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, how can you be violated? I'm asking whether Chibat HaKodesh is the equivalent of Ochel HaBor B'Mayim, Dami, Olo, and you come and you quote to me the fact that Ochel is Bor B'Mayim. No, no, I'm not quoting to you. Rabbi Lazar Mi'iturei Kroi Komar. It's an extra pasuk, don't you see? Mi'iturei V'chiyutan Mayim Al Zera. So what do you need now? This new pasuk of Mikol Ochel Asher Yachel Asher Yavo Alav Mayim. It's Etkiyutan Mayim. So normally, it's got to be to stress Mayim, Mayim, Mayim. No Mayim, no Risha V'Sheini. That's the point, no? So Lav L'Mutech Chivas HaKodesh? Ah, no, that was the point. That's something else. Chad V'Tumat Meit, V'Chad V'Tumat Sheretz. V'Tzrich Adiash V'Tumat Meit, I'd say, well, of course, Tumat Meit requires Heksher. But maybe that's because it's really tough to get enough Meit to be Metame. It's not Metame B'Kadashim. But a sheretz, which is matame begadasha, maybe the Torah is interested in facilitating tuma. In that case, loli boy hash. On the other hand, ashvin a sheretz, I say, well, but that's sort of a weak tuma. So it's not matame tuma shiva, maybe that's why you require hash. But mate, which is matame tuma shiva, aim a loli boy hash. So for that, I need to observe. Mosi Rav Yosef, Rav Yishimin Amr Uchshur B'Shchita, okay, Uchshur B'Shchita in our Mishnah, has got to mean, I feel a mim de bo risha v'sheni, because remember, it's talking about chulin, and chulin can't mean that it itself is nifsa. How in the world is chulin nifsa? Now, how could it be mim no risha v'sheni if it's lav ochel ababa mayimu? Says the Baya, well, that's true, but I mean, it's only mirabanan. Asu ketcher mayim mirabanan. Says Rabbi Zerai, I got a proof. Habotze legat, shami amar uchshar, hil amar lo uchshar, in the end, shotikle hil la shami. Now, The grape juice was not makshir over here. The gezer is what's makshir. So I'll have an ochel ababa mayimu. Omalei ba, fine, but the gezer was that asu ketcher mayim in rabbanan. Omalei Rav Yosef, You're like a broken record. You tell me asur ketz shamayim. Rabbi Zera tells you, you tell him asur ketz shamayim. So why didn't you just use your broken record for shemim alakishlami? Asur ketz shamayim. Oh, well, hey, wait. We have a different way of looking at shemim alakishlami. His whole question was whether minna barisha v'sheni to actually be metame something. Lisrof, not whether you can yourself eat it. Wait, are you saying the Chivas HaKadosh D'Oraita? Where would you get that from? Inolam. I mean, Ilam Rechiva Habasar Ashi Gabakol Tamei. And you're thinking to yourself, and I did this when I was a kid too. Hi, Basar is Kasher B'Mai. Ilam is Kasher B'Dam. Couldn't be. Because Amar Rechiva Barav Amar Rabbi Yochanan Minayin Ladab Kachim Shenom Akshir Shenem Alotok Lenom Alotish B'Kanak Kamayim. Only Dama Nishbach Kamayim Akshir, Shena Nishbach Kamayim Enam Akshir. Ah, you think to yourself, the alternative is, it was Itkashir B'mashke Beit Mitbachaya. Nah, couldn't be. Because Omer Rabbi Yezbe Rebekhine Mashke Beit Mitbachaya. Forget about the fact that they're not Matame, Shein Dechen. But they're not even Makshir L'Kabal Tuma. And you think to yourself, maybe that part was only a reference to the Dam. No. It says Mashke. Ella love you came up with in your glorious teenage excitement, dit kasher b'chibat hakodesh, overlooking the simple solution that domer gavir amishmu kon shaitalo para shalziv cheshlamim vehevira benachal, and then shachta v'adai mashket ofeach alea. No, actually that wasn't what I was thinking. It was miseifa. V'habasar, l'rabot etzim levona. Ask yourself, etzim levona b'nei achil aninu. Ela chibat ha-kodesh machshel ma'ashvilu ha-uchel. Ha-chanam b'chibat ha-kodesh machsharta. Now I ask, says Reish Lakish Mai, kima'an y'chibat ha-kodesh, as a new psul of kachim, the psul of the gufe. But shall we even say that it's the full equivalent to be a mitmaim? Nah. L'min le'barish v'sheni not. Or perhaps, let's go all the way. Take that was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Lens cap on the camera last
picture we had to see. Okay, Shavua Tov. Shavua Tov and the Vorach. We're holding a Daf Lamed Vov. We're up to Tanit Verav Yishmael. We're talking about what kind of dam can be marksher. So we talked about the dam chalalim, dam shkita, but the Rabbi Shimon is not marksher. The Tanur Rabbi Yishmael points out that dam chalalim yishter requires dam of the nefesh and prat the dam kiluach shenu marksher tazraim. If you're taking blood from an animal, which of course was very common to do for purposes of bloodletting. So initially there's a kiluach of dam, and subsequently the red blood turns dark color, it becomes black, and that's considered to be, from the point of mashcheret, it's considered to be dam ha-nefesh. But dam ha-kiluach, even after the first drops, when it's actually flowing, is not considered to be dam ha-nefesh, and is not mashcher kapos ra'im. Tosfos argues on this because of the whole sugya, really. In the Sugis of Dam, Krisis, where it's Mashmash, is the opposite. He learns that the Dama Kiluach is talking about after the blood was Meshacharet, and then as it drips now towards the end, it would turn black back to red, but that's called Dam Kiluach. But in any event, what's important to us is, getting back now to our Sugya, what's the status of the Dam Shchita? So, Tana Rabban, Hashochet, it is Dam HaLadulat, obviously. Pumpkins have to get in here somewhere. We know when we shifted it. For Aduma, the question was whether you were picking pumpkins. Over here, the question is when you're doing shchita, the question is whether the blood falls on pumpkins. But, to have a sugi that doesn't have a pumpkin to get in the shchita, that doesn't make sense. So the question is over here. The blood of the Shechita falls on a pumpkin. So Rebbe Omer Hukshar, Rebbe Chia Omer Tolin. According to Rebbe, the pumpkin is Hukshar. According to Rebbe Chia, it's Tolin. Tolin is a very strange language. We're going to ask later, what exactly does Tolin mean? Omer Rebbe Isha. Me'achash Rebbe Omer Hukshar. Rebbe Chia Omer Tolin. Ano Amin Nismoch. What are we supposed to do? I don't know who to follow. Boom, in Nismoch, are there Rebbe Shimon? Actually, where Rebbe Aska is learning Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Shimon Omer Shkita Makshar Zvalodam. So since, according to Rabbi Shimon, Dam is in Makshar at all, he backs the sheet of Rabbi Chia here, that it's not really Makshar the way Rabbi does. So what is this all about? Amr of Papa, look, Hakom Bodin. You know what the Machlokes over here between Rabbi and Rabbi Chia is like this. Everybody is made Echad Yisrael Dam et Chila Batsov. If the blood was on that pumpkin, from the beginning of Shechita to the end of Shechita, Kuli Amal Obligit in Makshar, of course it's going to be Makshar. Because the Dam is for sure Makshir, both according to Rebbe and according to Rebbe Chia, not like Rebbe Shimon. Ki pligi b'nitkaneach Adam made similar sin. The question over here is where somebody wiped off the blood from the pumpkin between the simon rishon, not of the pumpkin, the simon was on the animals, the pumpkin you didn't check for simon. But he wiped off the Dam on the pumpkin after the simon rishon was shechted, before you shechted the simon chain. And now the shaila is, was that dam the dam of Shechita or not? So Rabbi Chia holds in the Shechita a little bit so, that Shechita is only called Shechita when he completes the Shechita. In which case, the dam that was there at the time is dam Makra. Because at the time that the Shechita was called the Shechita, there was no dam that related to it. In which case, when he says Tolin, his word Tolin means wait. Tolina davar at Gemar Shechita. That's what Tolin means. Wait until the Gemar Shechita and see if the blood is still there. Iite ledam b'sof Shechita. If the blood is still there at the end of the Maaser Shechita, then it's Makshar. And if not, it's not Makshar because it wasn't the dam of the Shechita. So then, why does it say bov v'nismocha divrei Rabbi Shimon? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not Makshar at all. The way you're understanding the Machlokes according to Rabbi Chia is vada Makshar. The only shaila is that it's a suspect. Until we see that there was the end of Shechita. So according to Rabbi Chia, it is Makshar. So what does Rabbi Shimon have to do with it? Ah. But in the case where the Dam was Nitkaneach, between the two Simonim, right? So now in that case, it turns out that both Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon, for utterly different reasons, but both of them would be saying that that Dam is not Makshar. So Ashra, though. In that case, Marlo Makshar, Marlo Makshar. Both according to Rabbi Chia, the Dam is in Makshar, and according to Rabbi Shimon, the Dam is in Makshar, for different reasons. But the bottom line is, Heavenly Rabbi, Chav, in Dvar Shalachat, and Malkam Shnayim, Rabbi was stating that the Dam would be Makshar if it was there, even if it was only there, being similar to the Simon on the pumpkin, but the pumpkin would still be Mukshar Kabotuma. He is now a Yochi, because according to Rabbi Chia, the Dam at that time wasn't called Dam of Shechita. And according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it would have been called Dam of Shechita, it would not have been Makshar. And therefore, we put the two Shechitas together. Rabbi is a Das Yochid, and it's pumpkin eating time without worries about Hashanah Kabbal Tuma. Now, there's a very important implication from this Gemara that is against the Shechita of the Shach. The Shach says you cannot be Mitzarev two Shechitas where they have nothing in common in Svara. They just boil down the same way. Now, over here, that's exactly what the sugya is doing. The sugya is taking Rabbi Shimon, holds Dam Shechita is not Makshar at all, and the Shechita of Rabbi Chia, who holds it's not called Dam Shechita until the end of Shechita, because Ein Shechita Elo B'Sof, and it's putting them together, even though they have nothing in common in terms of the reason. Their commonality is only in terms of the bottom line. And what's very strange, Shach is even modest, what Gevager asks on him, like, how in the world, how does he learn the sugya if he holds that? Right? There's all kinds of terutz in it. But over the year it's talking about we're being semich on a chazaka that it wasn't moksha before. And over the cases that he's talking about, there is no chazaka. But it's very problematic. In terms of halacha l'maisa, the way most poskim work is that when it comes to the araisa, they're not semich on two things that have nothing to do with each other, to add them up, say, rov of the sheet or something like that. It comes to rabbon, and there are. But it's not really a klal mutsa. It's a question of judgment. But the sugya is just very strange. It's not even maska the sugya, but the sugya clearly is based on that whole on the opposite assumption that he's making. Anyway, that is the way that Rav Papa wants to learn the sugya. Rav Ashi doesn't like that. The reason that Rav Ashi doesn't like it is because the word tolin does not, to me, seem to mean that we wait around until the end of Shemitah. The word tolin is a state. Mashmalo olam. Tolin is olam. It's a lashon of suffix. So in other words, tolin means you have to wait until Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he'll tell you whether it's Moksha Kabbalatum or not. But it's not that in the case we say tolin. Therefore, nitkaneach, I would say, in the case where the dam is there till the very end, you're absolutely right, according to Rabbi Chiya, it would be tamei. If the blood was wiped off of the pumpkin between the Siman Rishon and the Siman Sheni, as I said before, Rabbi Chiya is actually mesupa. Svukim misafkele. What is the sopik yetshom l'shkita b'kfila v'atzofi yinu l'shkita l'besop? He's not sure. So if ain't l'shkita l'besop, at the time that the blood fell on the pumpkin, it wasn't yet a shem shkita. It wasn't there at the time that the Shvita became Shvita. And the Mela, it wouldn't be Moksha Kabbalatum. The pumpkin is Moksha Kabbalatum. So that's what he means by Tolan. Tolan means lo ochlin. You can't eat it. But on the other hand, lo sorfim. I mean, if you can't take it, if the pumpkin was truma, and it touched up the tummy after the dam was mitkaneah, you can't burn it. You're not allowed to burn truma unless it's vada tummy. So Mamela, that's what tolling means. Tolling means you have to let it hang until you know Vadai one way or the other, either Eliyahu becomes Tayur, whatever. So then when we say, Umay, Bovin is Mocha Divir Rabbi Shimon, so what does this have to do with Rabbi Shimon? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not Maksha at all. According to Rabbi Chiya, it's a Suffolk. Fine, but lenient Sarefa. As far as determining whether we should burn the pumpkin, so in terms of that, they're both holes that you don't burn the pumpkin. For different reasons. According to Rabbi Chiya, you don't burn the pumpkin because it's a suffix. Whether the dam, at the time of the Siman Rishon that fell on the pumpkin, was considered to be dam shkita, whether yesh l'shkita v'tilavat sof. And according to Rabbi Shimon Bechlal, even if it is dam shkita, it's not maksha l'kabbalatum. But the bottom line is they both agree, don't burn pumpkins, which is a very laudable position to take. So, therefore, the bottom line is, put the two shitas together, again, mashma, not like the shah. Put the two shitas together, and you end up the shavala dadi. Marlo sarfe, marlo sarfe. Neither of them are going to burn this pumpkin. Havale rebi chad. Vein dvorav shalach, v'makam shnayim. V'ochi kamar. And therefore, these words, by the way, they just seem to be meaningless. Rashi says they're some kind of tosefet to the years that had nothing. Kigon zot tolin lochlin v'lo sarfim. Obviously, fine. Now, the next question that we have, because we've entered here into a strange, penumbrous area, in which something which is not actually Moksha L'Kabbalatumah through Mashmah, which is, after all, the only way the Torah tells us to be Moksha L'Kabbalatumah that we're aware of at this point. Asher Yiplu Mayim Alav, right? Water has to fall on him. Shvita, somehow or other, is the equivalent, says Rabbi Shimon, it's Moksha L'Kabbalatumah. Now, there is another case that we've had like that, which is called Chibat HaKodesh. We said even Eitzi Malavona, even though it's not. But we give it a shame of Dover Hukshala Kabbalatuma because of its Chavivut. That's very much what the Hechsher Shmita does. Turns it into food, even though it was never washed, right? So now, in this sugya, we'd like to see the interrelationship of various types of Hechsher that are similar to this idea of Hechsher Shmita and Hechsher of Kibas HaKodesh, where no mashke is involved, and nonetheless, in Moksha L'Kabbalatumah, what is the status of that hechsher? There's two ways of understanding it. We could say the status of that hechsher makes it the equivalent of Zera on which Mayim fell, like it says to Yutan Mayim al Zera, right? Or we could say it's a separate din of hechsher. In itself is moksha because it is chashav, it was shafted. The difference would be that if it's only in terms of itself, then it won't be metame anything else if it becomes tame. It's just that in itself is suitable for Kabbalah's tuma, but it's not the equivalent of a hechsher that makes it tame to be metame other things. Right? If we say it's the full equivalent of mashkim, so fine, so if it becomes tame, it'll be metame something else. And that's the famous question that we've discussed before, Monim Bo Rishon V'Sheni. Something that gets Tuma in this strange fashion, is it that it's possible in and of itself, or can it exude Tuma? So do we count Rishon V'Sheni as Tuma, or does it, because it's important, something else touches it, it goes down that one level, becomes Tuma itself, or there's no Rishon V'Sheni, it's just possible. So this is the famous question. Here we get to it finally. Boy Rishon V'Mokish, Tzrid Shel Minachot. You have an area inside of a mincha, which is dry. You didn't mix properly the whole thing with shemen. So you got a little hard part. And that part wasn't mixed with shemen. And therefore it's called a tsarid as opposed to yavesh. Something tsarud is partially wet and partially dry. So a sore throat is not just yavesh, it's tsaridut. That's why Rashi says it's pshat. Tosfos says, I agree that the language definitely is much like Rashi because it's sarut. I have a problem, however, because we know that when it comes to Kodesh, we learn out from Kafachat, Melayach Torah, that the entire Kli is considered to be one entity. The Kli is Mitzarif Mashu B'Tocho. Tosfos is bothered if the Kli is Mitzarif Mashu B'Tocho for Tuma, why would it not be Mitzarif Mashu B'Tocho for Hechsher? And therefore, Tosfos learns that we're forced to say that the case of Tzarit Shel Menachot here is talking about a mincha that has no shemen in it, such as a mincha schote, or a mincha sota, where there is no shemen. So it's dry mincha, or a mincha before you put it already in the kli, before you put in the shemen. But there, since we're dealing with a kli sharet, and a kli sharet has a special halacha that's b'tzarif mashu b'tocho, you can't learn Rashi's pshat. But anyway, getting back now. My question is Rish Lakish. Monim bo Rishon V'Sheni or ain't Monim bo Rishon V'Sheni? What I want to know is, Kimahani Chibat HaKodesh, Lapsule Gufen. Does Chibat HaKodesh help only to tell me that it itself is possible? But not that it's a real tumor. Lomimne be Rishon V'Sheni. I mean, Monim Rishon V'Sheni lo. Odum lo Shnar. Maybe it helps even to give it a same din as if it had been in touch with water, and therefore if it's makabal tuma, it'd be makabal tuma to exude tuma as well.
So, it doesn't matter how this became tuma. It is mushal makabal tuma.
No, then it, yeah, what we care about, we don't, I mean, however it became tuma, but the heksher will change.
But what, that's what we're asking.
We're asking about the heksher, not about the tuma.
So we're not discussing
that. No, it's a given that it became tuma afterwards. I mean, obviously, otherwise how would it be made by Rishon V'Sheni? Tashma. Omer Abelazar was brother, I can prove it. It says in a pasuk, Mikola Ochal Asher Yeachel, Asher Yipol Mayim Alav. Do I say it? Mikola Ochal Asher Yeachel. That's telling me, Ochal Habar B'Mayim Hoksha. The only type of Ochal that is actually Hoksha in this context, in where it's talking about Shlotzim, to make it Rishon V'Sheni, is where it actually came in touch with water. Ochal Sheinu B'Mayim Lo Hoksha. Now the Gemara first misunderstands Rabbi Lazar and is very upset about this ridiculous raya. What's the matter with you? What, do you think Rish Lakish didn't know the pasuk? What a stupid thing is this? Rish Lakish's question was, Rish Lakish hachi koming boyele, what he was asking is Chibat HaKadosh the equivalent of Ochal HaBava Mayim or not? And you, like an idiot, you tell him, well, has Ochal HaBava Mayim. That's a given, as the Ochal HaBava Mayim. I'm asking you whether this is the equivalent of Ochal HaBava Mayim Domei Olam. You don't understand Rabbi Elazar. You're quick to call him names. You don't understand what he's saying. Rabbi Elazar, Minami Nisri Kroika Omar. The point Rabbi Elazar was making is that there's a whole extra pasuk over here. Because Mirchik, see Vichyutan Mayim Al Zera. Look, it says Beferish, when water falls on seeds. That's how it's Moksha Lekabal Tuma. Why? On a seed, an edible seed. Then why does it say Mikola Ochal Asher Yachel Asher Yipol Mayim Alav? It's completely repetitious. Why do you think the pasuk is repeating it? That's what he's saying. He's no fool. He's telling you not didn't read the pasuk clearly. So therefore, the pasuk must become to telling us Lav Lema'utei Chibas HaKadosh. It's stressing what type of ochel can be viewed as the type of ochel that you can count Rishon V'Sheni. Kol ochel asher yachel asher yipol mayim alav. Not that was mukshar through Chibas HaKadosh. Now the reason that Rish Lakish doesn't accept the Raya of Rabbi Elazar is because you're 100% right. I take it back. 100% right, it's an extra pasuk. However, it's an extra pasuk coming to tell me something else. Chad betumat meit v'chad betumat sheretz. Even though this is obviously one pasuk that occurs in the parsha of tumat sheretz, not tumat meit. But since we have an extra pasuk, we're going to have to say it applies to something else. You may know inyan for tumat sheretz. Tneu inyan for tumat meit. Now you would have thought that the din of mukhshir l'kabel tumah does not apply to meit. And that's why I need a separate pasuk to tell me the same din of ekshar by meit, the same din of ekshar by sheretz. And I need both, but tzriach. Because let's say the Torah would have told that the Yashmin is tumat meit. I would have said, okay, you know why tumat meit requires action. Hatam adabai yakshar b'shum dalom atami b'kadash. That's because tumat meit doesn't have the chumrah of easily spreading tumat. You need to have a kezayis, v'yistam, and so on. But a sheret, which is matami b'kadasha, so maybe it spreads tumat easily even onto things that weren't mukshu l'kabel tumat by falling into mine. On the other hand, if I only know sherets, Yashmin and sherets, I would have said, okay, sherets, I would say, since sherets is not matami tumah shiva, it's a lighter tumah, doesn't make you tummy for 7 days, you go to the mikveh, you become Torah that night from a sherets. But, okay, so therefore the Torah was b'chai of something to be mukshul kabel tumah, in order to accept tumah from something that has such a light quality tumah. But a tumas meis, which is matami tumah shiva, maybe you don't even need action. It spreads tumah so powerfully. Maybe it could force tumah even onto something that's a mukshul kabel tumah. Tzrich, therefore, I need both.
How can we say that sheretz and matami kadash and loli boy action? Elsin Gulf is telling me it does.
Tosis points. Tosis actually asks your question essentially. Tosis says that we're pretending this is a tzrichah. In other words, even though it's an imeno inyan, the tzrichah is saying, look, let's actually pretend that we would have said these two things in different parshas. But you're right, it's strange, because there is no really two separate, this is the only place in the pasuk says it. Masid Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef now brings, he writes, Rav Shimon Haimer, Hukshru B'Shvita. Okay, tell me what that means, in the Mishnah. Hukshru B'Shvita, it's talking about Chulin, we proved it was talking about Chulin, right? We said Shechita is about Sheretz. The Gemara went to four separate proofs that the Mishnah couldn't have been talking about Kachin. It was talking about Achaya, it was talking about the without Dam, that it's kosher, so on and so forth. So, Legabi, what we say, Mukshu Shechita, Legabi what? Legabi what? What, you can't eat it? It's Mukshu Legabi Tumah, it was Legabi Tumah, you can't eat Chulin? Legabi, what was it, Mukshu Shechita? Obviously, Mukshu, and that was if it becomes Tame, that it'll be Matame, other things where you do care about whether it's Tame, right? So then it's afil and they barisha machine. So clearly, I mean, he's saying the sheet is the equivalent of the dam. Okay. Bamai, halav ochalav bamai. And here's another case of this unusual type of action where no liquid is involved. No liquid is involved. And nonetheless, we're saying that tukshul kabatuma, obviously, in order to give off to him, it is something else. That's the whole point of the case.
Why is it no liquid?
Sheet?
No liquid.
That scared him off good.
Not anymore.
Abaye says, that doesn't prove anything. I mean, that could be Mirabonan or Suk, actually, my Mirabonan. The Mishnah is saying, okay, so the Rabbonan made it the equivalent of Ekshamayim. That doesn't help us for Rish Lakish. Well, Rabbi Zera says, how about this case? Tashma, Habotzer Lagat. Now, if there's a case is where somebody is collecting now his grapes for wine, normally the grapes are put into a basket, and you carry your little basket, bring it over to the gat eventually, and you take care of it. Now, the problem is that when you pull the grape, you sometimes squeeze it a little bit, and it gets damp. You don't want the grape to get damp now, because any liquid that leaks out is going to fall out of the basket, and it just hurts your wine. What do you want it to get wet for? So therefore, it shouldn't be marshal kabel tumah. Nonetheless, Shammai says it's Hukshir, Hill says it's low Hukshir. In the end, the Gemara turns out that they made a Gezerah because of the case where you may be using plastic bags to collect the grapes. And over there, the water will remain in the plastic bag until you bring it to the God. So there you would be next. And it goes there all Betzirah just in case you would use a waterproof container. And in the end, Hillel had to accept it. He was outvoted, and so on. Rishat Zikwish, Hillel Hashanah. So now the question is, how it could be Makabel Tumah if it was not Ochel HaBavamayim? It's an example. It might be exerted for Makabel Tumah. Omelet Baya, that just means, I mean, they made it the equivalent of Asher Mayim and Rabbona. Says of Yosef, you know, Abaya, your attitude is just intolerable. I tell you a case. Ochel B'Shchita. So what do you say? You throw in my face, nu, Azul Asher Mayim and Rabbona. Rabbi Zera comes along and brings you another case. You throw in his face. It means Asur Kesher Mayim and Rabbanan. So for God's sake, then say the same thing about Reish Lakish. If you're ready to say that wherever we make it in Zera, and we define something as being Tomei, we define it as being Tomei to Mimne Be'Risha V'Sheni. So I understand. So good, so that's the answer to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was asking. We have something that's not really Mekabel Tumah B'Mayim. Is it Mimne Barisha Vashini? I bring you a raya, he brings you a raya, you answer that it's Moksha. Asa'ul Kaksha. So tell Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, Asa'ul Kaksha. Why are you telling me Asa'ul Kaksha? So what's wrong with what I said? So the Reish Lakish, Asa'ul Kaksha Mayim. I understand, what's the difference in the case of Chibas HaKodesh, that over there you're not ready to say, oh, they made it like Hekshav Ayim Min Rabbanan, and that therefore it would be Min Rishim Hasheni. And for Rabbi Shimon Shchita, there you are ready to say it. Or for the Gezer of Beit Shamai, there you are ready to say it. Says Abaya, oh man, I said, you missed the whole point. Reish Lakish wasn't asking whether it's Maksha L'Rishon Hasheni Min Rabbanan. He knew it was. Of course it's Moksha. Mimne Barisha Vesheni. I see, you didn't understand all of them. Other Rishimim and Lakshmi Tlot coming, but what do you think? Reish Lakish was asking whether, if such a thing that was Moksha through Chibas HaKodesh, now becomes Tami and touches something else, Truma or Kachim. So you think he was asking whether you are allowed to eat the Truma of Kachim, to be Tayleh? Of course you're not allowed to eat it. His question was Lisrof, whether it's a Tumah D'Oraisa. When I'm asking you about the case of Shchita, the Rabbi Shimon, or the case of Avot Zilagat, the Rabbi Shammai, and I answer you, it's the Rabbana. What do you think, I'm an idiot? I could tell Reish Lakish it's the Rabbana. Reish Lakish knows the Rabbana is Betame. His question is whether the Chibas HaKodesh here is Betame Risha Vesheni Midiraisa. Oh, said Rabbi Yosef, you mean Michal the Chibas HaKodesh Midiraisa? I didn't even know that. In other words, you're saying that Reish Lakish was asking not about the Rabbanan component, which is definitely Mimne Barish Mishnah. He was asking whether you would even be Seirei, Truma, and Kachim, based on a Kabbalah's Tumah of something else, through Chibas HaKedesh, which then became Tameh, and now touched Truma or Kedesh. And you'd want to know whether he would burn it. In other words, but you're saying Chibas HaKedesh, therefore, is it the Uriah? I don't get it. Where does it say in the Torah anything about Chibas HaKodesh? I mean, all that. Eel, aim as it because minichsiv. V'habasar sheyiga v'chol tamei. Now, the Torah has a parsha of Tumas Bos by Zevach Shlomi. Right? It says, somebody, first talks about a guy who's tamei himself, and he eats Bos. Okay. V'habas the Bos was Makabel Tumah. It's also to eat. Fine. And now you think to yourself, now wait a minute. How in the world was Basar of Kedesh Makabel Tumah? Because you think to yourself like this, I Basar this Kasher B'Mai. What was Makshir, this Basar, to be Makabel Tumah? Is it the Dam? Yeah. Is it the Dam of the Shchita? V'om Rebchia Barav Am Reyof Midayin the Dam Kachim She'enu Makshir. We already know. Everybody agrees the Dam Kachim isn't Makshir. Shenema lo tochlen olor tzvukhenu k'mayim. Only dam anishpach k'mayim is makshir. But since kachim, obviously I need to collect the dam, I can't pour it out like mayim. So you're on the wrong line, Richie. It's six lines below that. She'eno nishpach k'mayim eino makshir. So therefore it wouldn't be makshir. So therefore what, how did it become tamei if it wasn't makshir l'kabel tumah? Ela diskash b'mashkim eitzim b'chaya. Is it that it was makabel tumah through the hose where we sprayed it off in the Beit Mitzvachayim? We had to clean off all of the bus a little bit. We clean off the Me'ayim and so on. So everything got wet. And you think that that's, no. The Om Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina pointed out, that mashke beit matpachayim, various liquids that are to be found in the beit hamitpachayim and beit hamikdash, lo daya, not only is it true what Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chanina, I mean what Yosef ben Yoezer said in Idiot, namely that he was made the mashke beit matpachayim dechayim, that they are not Tomei, they can't, they themselves are not Makabal Tumah. Lo Dayan, says Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Lo Dayan, not only are they themselves the Chen, are they not Makabal Tumah, they're not even Masha Makabal Tumah.
Because it's not considered a
Masha. That's a Shaila. There's a Machlokas, whether Masha Beit B'Bechai or not Masha because it's Alok Rabbi Yosef Sinai, or because Mi'ikar Hadin, only Mayim that are Mechubarim are Masha, and Mirabonan only Mayim that are not Mechuber are Masha Makabal Tumah, and we did not make Gzera in the Beit HaMitbachayim in order to avoid having problems of Tumah in the Beit HaMikdash. But whatever the case is, you cannot tell me that HaBasar in the Beit HaMikdash is a reference to Mashke Beit HaMitbachayim. V'chi Kema, maybe you'll say that the implications of Einam Makshirim of Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, what he was really trying to say was only Dam, that the Dam is not Mahakshir, which is true because it's not Nishpach Kamayim. But he never suggested that the water from the hose wouldn't be Mahakshir. No. Mashke Gomer, he doesn't use the word Dam. He uses the word Mashke, any types of plural Mashke would not be. By the way, Tosfos says it's not the Yud that you can be Madaik plural because the Mishnah is essentially oral. You wouldn't be able to hear Mashke or Mashke enough to be able to be Madaik. But the Dechen is a Lashon plural. El Alav, there's only one explanation for the Pasuk in Atayra that says that Basar of the Zevach HaShlamim is Tamei if it touches Tumah, and that must be that the very fact that it's Kodesh is enough to allow to become Tumah. So you see that Chivas HaKodesh is indeed Mash Makabal Tumah. So I think about what kind of Raya is that? Maybe the case is like Rav Yoram Shmuel's case. Yom Rav Yoram Shmuel. Now listen, a guy owns a Zevach Shlamim, which is the case over that we're talking about. Who gets the skin? He does. He gets the basar. He gets the or. It's in his interest to see to it that this animal is skinned easily, so that the skin isn't ruined and the basar isn't ruined. The way to make sure that it's skinned easily is to make sure that you cool it in water before Tishvita, and that it drinks. So we have here a benacha. Before he came to Beis HaMikdash, he took the pain of making sure that the animal was muvar benacha. And then he went ahead and he shechted it. At that point, the dayan mashka tofeach alav. There's still water on it on that point. On the skin. Now Rashi learns, here's David again coming up with this little sneaky word, but he's got the whole sugya ready to ask, which is Taisus Kash over it. Rashi says, that, and then it drips from the skin onto the basar, right? And then it's mashed the basar after sheet. Tosfos says, no, can't be. Because if it drops from the skin onto the basar, then it's tolosh. And at that point, we said tolosh isn't mashed in the Beis HaMikdash, according to Mad Yomar, it's mashed but the chai is because of the tolosh. So you haven't helped anything. You're not going to change it because there's no gzera of mayim tolosh and mashirim in the Azorah. Therefore, Taisus says, it remains on the skin. But the din is, he says, I see that Rashi was bothered by the fact that in Perikah Orva Rotev, the Gemara comes out, there's the question whether there's such a thing as a Yad Lehefshir. We know that there's a Yad Letuma. So let's say you pick up an apple by its stem. So it's called a handle. The stem is a handle for the apple. And that's Pesachas Uketzin. But the Tuma will transfer through the stem into the apple, even though it itself is not a foodstuff. Question is there Yad Lehechshir? Let's say that water falls on the stem, doesn't fall on the apple. So Rashi wants to avoid that problem. But the skin, you can pick up the Hebrew, but it's a Yad. Tosfos says, but Rashi made a mistake. The skin is not a Yad, it's a Shemer. And everybody agrees that there could be a Shemer Lamashkin, the Lehechshir. So in the mail, it's talking about that the skin was damp. It was damp from Mayim Mechubarim, because you walked through a Nacha. Therefore, now that it becomes foodstuff, it becomes muksha with the water that's on the skin without falling onto the bus.
So it's
Silverman's Tosafot. So they're very sweet. Anyway, in any event, that my mashkitofei achalel. So you cannot bring a raya from the very fact that there is basar, that is makabel tuma of a zevach shlamim, that necessarily there has to be chibas akedah. So where do we know chibas akedah derives? Ela miseifa veha basar kol tahor yochal basar. Now, if ever there was an extra pasuk, it's that veha basar. Right? What are we talking about? We're in the middle of the whole thing about basar, shigav, veha basar kol tahor yochal basar. I mean, come on. That word is just hanging there, screaming, dorshani, right? So that extra v'habasar is what we're talking about. And we said that v'habasar is to be marba that even etzim elavein or makabel, not only basar, all things that are shayach to kodesh, even etzim elavona are makabel too. But now I ask you, etzim elavona b'nei achila dinu. I mean, they're not foodstuff. How do they become food? Elachibat hakodesh machshar alohu u'mishav yelohu ochel. Chibas HaKodesh is a way of defining things as food, the way Shita is a way of defining an animal as food. Therefore, the question and is extended to the meat itself, talking on Chibas HaKodesh, Maksharata. Now, my question is, as Reish Lakish, Kima Hanya Chibas HaKodesh, the Sula de Gufe, is only that the thing itself can become tummy and is burned, but not that it can exude tumah to be matami something else, which would then be burned to your eyes. This is Rich Larkish's question. At last you understand. Teiku. And indeed, for that question, we have no raya, as Abaya pointed out. Now, there's one thing before we end that is very, very disturbing in this circuit. I mean, it's so disturbing that it seems absolutely insane. We said that the case was earlier that he shechted one simen, the blood drops onto the pumpkin. Then it's wiped off of the pumpkin, and now he shechts the other siman. And the question is whether yesh l'shchita mitchila b'atzof, or eina l'shchita el l'besof. Now, obviously, if you hold eina l'shchita el l'besof, it doesn't matter whether it was wiped off or not. At the time that it fell, it wasn't falling from shchita. What's the difference whether it's still there after the shchita? That's totally crazy. We saw that clearly the sugya before. Anything that happens, yes, we did see that if there never was a shechita, then the shechita doesn't become a shechita. But that was according to the Man Yom Rav, yes, shechita mitchila b'atzof. But if you hold ein shechita elo b'sof, then the act until the end of the shechita is not shechita. What's the difference whether in the end it turns out to be a shechita? This is mamish crazy. There's all sorts of attempts to try to figure out what this gemara is saying. There's supposedly a Tosafos HaRosh that claims that which many people say was can't possibly be a rush, somebody stuck it in there, which claims that everybody would agree yesh no shchita b'tchila v'atzof at the end of shchita, which is exactly the opposite of what the sugya said before. So the Chazon Ish says that the meaning of yesh no shchita b'tchila v'atzof in this sugya has nothing to do with the technical machlokas as to whether the act of shchita is shchita. There's no question. If somebody holds the dam shchita is matir, what's the shot? What does it mean? Only the dam at the instant that came out at the instant that you shechted the two simonim, that's the dam shchita. Nothing else is dam shchita. That doesn't make any sense, Michal. Especially if you can shech the whole day. So therefore, the point is, it's a borrowed language of whether yesh shchita mitchila tzav means tainus lachazanish. Only that dam that was there when a shechita took place is machshir. But if the shechita, the dam isn't there at an act that is seen as an act of shechita, is not machshir. It's also very difficult where you get such an idea from. But anyway, at least it's an attempt to explain the Gemara intelligently. But you can see it's very, very problematic. Who cares whether it was nitkaneaf or not? I mean, either it is dam shechita or it isn't dam shechita. Whether we retroactively turn the blood that fell on the pumpkin into dam shechita? How would that work? Good, something to think about.
The basar kodesh had to be with no
tumas haguf.
With no
tumas habasar. With no
condiments.
No, it had to be eaten with condiments.
So couldn't any of that have been a machshir?
How is a condiment machshir?
Well, it's olive oil, mustard, wine.
Oh.
No relish.
Oh, right here. Pretending let the oil.
I mean, why don't we come up with that? I mean, doesn't he
No, you're right. That's a wonderful question. It's a brilliant question. Didn't you have a right and a chiyuv actually? It's kind of moshva. Supposed to eat it kederach hamalachim. So why couldn't it be mekabel tumah? There are a few
questions.
Not mustard, but oil. Shemen. Shemen is part of
wine.
Shemen and wine, though. Let's make a delicious
thing.
And honey. Honey also. Honey is also mashkin. That is a fantastic question. I don't think anybody ever asked that question. I ever saw that question asked. That is brilliant. Well, that's amazing when you remember the end of the first parent. Yeah, take a look. I don't know. You know, I'm Amish, don't know. I'd have to say that Enoch Inami, the Gemara, could have asked that and just said, you know, why can't it be a case that was mamish buchsher at the time of Shechita because of the mashke tefet? But in every now, if it wouldn't have come up that case, I'll bet you would have said you can't.